Well, good morning again, everyone. Lisa, you've not been with us before, but I have a tendency to phrase things in the form of questions, and I want to call everybody folks. So you're all folks this morning, okay? And because I know I'll use that term quite a bit. We need to, and I'm very remiss, I forgot to say, Brother Mark, we're glad to have you back with us. It's been 3 weeks, and glad you're doing well. Let's remember all those who are not with us this morning, and that hopefully they'll be back and with us for our fall meeting next weekend. Thomas and Aiden and Lisa, you too, you're invited if schedules can allow. We'll have a Saturday service, and we'll have lunch afterwards. And then again, on our Sunday service, we'll have lunch afterwards also. So bring your appetites and invite anybody that you would like to, if you would, like to invite somebody to come with us. Folks, this morning, we're going to continue in the book of Judges and looking at Gideon. Last Sunday, not everybody was here, so I have a little bit of a recap that I want to go through just to kind of put us all on the same page. And the book of Judges is so emblematic, I believe, of the world as a whole since 3,000 years ago, basically, when this occurred. Our world is constantly turning its back away from our Lord and pursuing the world. The Bible is very specific. We're not to love the world, but yet that's what we do. And we chase after everything that's in it. And in the book of Judges, they crossed over into the Promised Land, they repeatedly went after false gods. It was a vicious cycle. For approximately 400 years, the Israelites would sin and worship the false gods that were all around them through these pagan societies, forgetting what God had done to bring them into the Promised Land and all the amazing miracles that He had performed that their fathers and grandfathers knew. So over time, they would worship these false gods, and the Lord would punish them. But then He would have compassion on them and give them judges to lead them and guide them back into the true worship of our Father above. And every time they raised up a judge, they would prosper. But then once the judge died, they again would fall back and revert to sinful ways of worshiping other gods. And folks, these gods were what they worshiped was just wicked and perverse. And I don't want to go into everything that they do. I've done that last year when we studied a lot more about false gods. But some of the things that they did is so just, it boggles the mind in their what they put into their practices and their worships. So we're going to start up again in the book of Judges chapter 6. And this first few minutes will just be a recap. I want to start in verse 12. And here we find Gideon. And Gideon is down in a wine press. And he's attempting to thresh wheat inside a wine press. So let's start verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. See, the Midianites would come in and steal all the harvest and all the produce that they had. The Bible describes it that they would swarm in like locusts, and they would vandalize and tear up and destroy and take away everything. And the Israelites were on the verge of starvation because of the oppression of the Midianites. And yet we have Gideon here in a wine press. And folks, a wine press is down in the ground. It's normally wheat is threshed up on the high spaces, up on top of rocks, and it's elevated so that when they throw the wheat into the air, that the wind can blow off the chaff and the grain falls back down. That's how it was done in that day. To try to attempt to do it in a wine press is very difficult. Now, some people will say, if you read various commentaries, that Gideon was a coward. That he was in this wine press because he was afraid of the Midianites. Well, I don't think I view it quite that way. Yes, I think he was afraid of the Midianites. But it was hard what he was having to endure. They were in very difficult circumstances, and he was trying to secure what wheat he could to have for food without it getting stolen. And worse, had the Midianites discovered it, they would have tore up the wine press too. So there he is, threshing wheat in a wine press, again, in a pit in the ground. And the angel appears to him. And then verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. In verse 13, Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring you up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, folks, there's some nuances here. Again, we've been over this. I'm just kind of recapping. I just want us to recognize when Gideon is talking, the text specifically says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us. Notice there's a difference here. This angel has appeared to him. I don't think Gideon recognizes him as much as an angel. It's probably a prophet. Because prophets had been sent and told them why that they were experiencing all this trouble. It was because of their wickedness and turning away to worship false gods. And the text here says, oh, my Lord. It's not capitalized. The very next portion, if the Lord is with us, is capitalized. So he's not recognizing him, I don't believe, as an angel. To call somebody Lord was a custom if the person held a high enough status in the, like King David was called Lord. A high prophet could be called Lord. The Pharisees would call Jesus Lord, even though they didn't recognize him as Lord. So there's a difference here in this text. It's not capitalized. I believe he thought he was a prophet. And the thing is, he had heard all this before, and yet Gideon was in this wine pit. And I believe, yes, he was afraid of the Midianites, but I believe a little bit more that he was depressed and he was despairing because of the hardships they were doing. Gideon was focused on his troubles, on what he was having to go through at the time. And I think we'll see more clarity as to why he was feeling that way and as we go through our message this morning. But folks, a question to you. When life just seems to let you down, when everything is turned upside down, when nothing is working, when you don't understand all the trials and tribulations, do you doubt God's faithfulness? We just sang a song, The Goodness of God. How appropriate it is for us today, for every day in our lives. But folks, hard times will come. And if we are disobedient long enough, prolonged disobedience, the Lord will chastise us too. But even when we are not being disobedient, hard times come and hard times go. That's part of life. But when you are despairing, when you don't understand, when you feel like your prayers aren't being answered, it's so easy to go deeper and deeper and deeper into despair. And then you begin to ignore all the goodness of God and everything He has done for you in your life. And our faith gets weak. I believe that's the condition Gideon was in. But now I'm repeating a statement that I've said many times. And you cannot say it enough. Matter of fact, Brother Pat, you alluded to it yourself. Your present circumstances do not have any reflection on how much God loves you. The Lord loves you with an everlasting, unfailing love. If you want to know how much God loves you, you need to remember and look to the cross, because Jesus Christ came and He died for your sins. And you have the gift of faith, which is, again, comes from the Lord above. He gave you that faith. It identifies you as a child of God. He loves you. You have the ability to understand that Jesus died for you to pay for your sins because you couldn't pay for them yourselves. That's what faith is. We look to the rock that is higher than us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the gift of faith. Jesus Himself said that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. Folks, you have faith. He drew you because He loves you. So regardless of how hard life is, our hope is not found in ourselves. It's found in Jesus Christ. And we need to be looking up and never forgetting that the Lord sees all. We are always in His hands. We are always under His watchful care. Now, as we continue back through this text, I want you to notice something that's different in this account. And maybe you've seen it and dwelt on it. I don't know. But I want you to notice, let's read verse 12, that the angel here appears to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And we're going to focus on that in just a minute. But there's also something important. He calls him a mighty man of valor. Well, Gideon hasn't really done anything yet that the Bible has alluded to. But folks, God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. He looks at us, I believe, through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. And He knows what we are capable of when we put our faith and trust in Him and we are obedient to His Word. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us when we're faithful. He calls him a man of valor. And I believe we could even substitute, well, or add to that, a man of faith. Gideon will turn into a man of faith. And I really hope that, folks, you will begin to apply this story to your life. Every message needs to be personal. That's what the gospel is. It is, we worship collectively as a church, but it all boils down to your personal relationship with God. How do you see yourself if you're in the position of Gideon? How would you be holding up under the circumstances that Gideon was in? He called him a man of valor. And you know, the angel doesn't directly answer Gideon's question as to why is all this happening, which was in verse 13. I think Gideon knew. Because prophets had come and told him it was because of their sin. But again, Gideon was focused on his hardships. He was having to endure a lot. And then, verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" You see, he's telling Gideon what he's going to do in the future. God sees all things. He's going to strengthen Gideon. And he's told him, "Have I not sent you?" Folks, that should be familiar to you because that's exactly what he said to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, and to Joshua. "I am with you." He's told this to Gideon. And knowing that God is with us, and we have His Word, and we should have the faith to believe what God's Word tells us, that He is always with us, that should be all the strength and might that we need to accomplish whatever task He gives us. And we need to be courageous about it and not timid and withheld. What did the Lord tell Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." And folks, that is true for us today. The Lord is with us. So we don't have any reasons to be, if God has told us to do something, to be hesitant about it. We need to be faithful about it. And here the Lord is talking to Gideon. So now let's continue. And this is new parts of the Scriptures we haven't been to, starting in verse 15. "So he said to him," this is Gideon talking, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." But you see, Gideon is starting to make excuses. "How can I do it? I'm the least there is. I'm the youngest of the bunch. I'm the least in the house, and my house and our clan is the least in of all of the tribe of Manasseh. How can I save Gideon?" Well, folks, we make excuses too, don't we? Sometimes we just don't want to do something. Sometimes we might want to sincerely do it. We don't know how to do it. You see, the problem is we're looking at ourselves. And we're not looking and thinking about what we can do if God is strengthening us, if God is with us. You see, when we look at ourselves, we see our limitations. And never put your limitations on God. Because God can do all things. And if God is with us and He has told us to do something, we can do it through His power and not our own. It is an obstacle. Satan weaves his way into our thoughts and our minds, and we see ourselves as unable to do things. But we need to turn to God's Word for strengthening, to be uplifted and to find direction. We find that in 2 Corinthians. Here, Paul prayed 3 times for God to take the thorn out of his flesh. But he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. When we're weak, folks, you know, sometimes we're self-reliant and we want to do things our way, or say, I did it, have that sense of accomplishment. But, you know, there are things in life we can't handle on our own. And sometimes we have to be brought a little bit low by those circumstances before we look up. And we need to be looking to God. Gideon couldn't do this on his own. He needed faith to know that God was with him. Gideon needed to look up because he was weak. But things were about to change. Now let's continue on. Verse 17. And this is Gideon talking. Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." Now, the longer I read that message, that passage, it really hit me and it struck me. And I, you know, we're all people, we're all different. Sometimes things affect us in different ways. But I see the love of the Lord here. I see His grace and His compassion. And it makes me think again about the song we sang, His goodness. You see, the Lord told him that I will wait till you come back. Have you ever thought about how patient and long-suffering and how the Lord has waited on you? How patient He's been with you in your life? It humbles me when I start thinking about my own life. How I don't deserve His grace and His goodness. I will wait till you come back. Psalms 103 tells us the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And folks, we should take comfort, I think, from this next verse that I'm sharing with you that's found in Philippians, because it's true for all of us. Be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord will never leave us, folks. And He didn't give you faith for no reason. How many times have we read and shared together that you were created for good works? You have good works to do. The Lord will be with you and strengthen you. So in spite of our backslidings, our turning away, the Lord is slow to anger and compassionate and gracious. And yes, He will complete that good work that you were created to do in your life. We all have a purpose. There's no Christian that's ever walked the face of this earth that can say, "I don't know why I'm here." You have a purpose to fulfill what God created you for, and the least of them is to praise God for the gift of life you have, to share your faith with others, to give your witness and your testimony. We can all do that. You see, Gideon was just an ordinary man, just like me, just like you, an average person. He couldn't do these things, but he needed to be strong. And we need strength sometimes. We need reassuring. I hope you find it from this next passage found in the Gospel of John. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." You see, sometimes in our life we backslide and we go astray. But the Lord never gives up on His children. Just like the Lord constantly would give back judges to the people of Israel. Folks, He's patient and slow to anger and kind and compassionate to us. And we need to turn to Him. "All that the Lord gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You see, I believe in repentance can come at any time in our lives. You know, there's an expression called deathbed confessions. I believe in it. Because you never know when the Lord is going to speak to somebody in their life. You never know when their hearts are touched and they finally turn to the Lord. I believe in it. Now I want to go back to our text and I want you to think about something here. Gideon has asked the angel of the Lord to wait on him while he goes to prepare an offering. That offering, folks, that's hard work. And that's going to take some time. He's going to go kill and butcher a goat. He's going to cook that goat, and he's going to dress it and prepare it along with unleavened bread. He's going to have to bake in a wood-fired oven. It didn't just pop out of there in 30 seconds and 30 minutes. No, it took some hard work and effort. And he's asking the angel of the Lord to wait that length of time. And you'll see in just a moment some things. But I want to just tell you now. You see, Gideon was seeking for a sign. Does that sound familiar to you? They were seeking for a sign. But there's a very important difference here. And it applies to us. And it applied, Gideon wouldn't have, it does not apply to what Gideon's doing. But we find repeatedly throughout the Bible, people were seeking a sign from Jesus. If we turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, Jesus addressed the Pharisees because they were seeking a sign. So they wanted him to prove that he was the Messiah. And he said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. You see, there's a difference here because the Pharisees went to Jesus. They already had heard about all the miracles that Jesus had done. Some of the Pharisees saw some of those miracles themselves. Yet they're tempting Jesus. Folks, we should never tempt God as the Pharisees did. We don't need to go seeking a sign in our life. You have the gift of faith already to understand that the Lord is God and that we have faith in Him. We don't need anything else. The Pharisees were tempting Jesus. That's not what's occurring with Gideon. Folks, when we go to the Lord, we need to have faith. We don't need to be asking for a sign. The gift of faith you have in your heart is all the sign that you need that the Lord is with you. And just like he told Gideon, that needs to be all that we require to go through life because God has said, "I am with you." Now let's continue on. Verse 19, "So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from the ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them." And if you read enough about commentaries, you know, there's some things that aren't implied here. But as was custom in the world at that time, there could have been servants who brought out a table to set before the angel to make a presentation. Because Gideon was giving, they were impoverished, but he was giving probably most of what he had available to make an offering to the angel. It was a tremendous gesture. So there could have been some grandeur that went along with it. But the angel said to him in verse 20, "The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." Folks, this was a miracle that just occurred. It says that the fire came out of the rock. It didn't come out of the staff. He didn't burn it up with a torch. It came out of the rock and it consumed it. It consumed the entire burnt offering that Gideon had just made. And folks, I'm going to tell you now, Gideon asked for a sign, and he received that sign. Because the offering was miraculously consumed, and the angel departed out of his sight. He knew. This was all the proof he needed. He knew. You see, Gideon asked for a sign, and he received it. And there's no sin in that, as there was with the Pharisees. You see, the difference is, the angel appeared to Gideon. The Pharisees went to Jesus, but the angel came to Gideon. There's a profound difference there, folks. Sometimes God appears to us. You know, Hebrews tells us sometimes we entertain angels unaware. So God comes to us and he speaks to us in our hearts. Sometimes you might say it can even occur in your dream. But what are we told to do? And this is exactly what Gideon did. We find it in the Gospel of John. John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You see, Gideon didn't know 100%, so he asked for a sign. But he did so with faith. You see, his offering was accepted. And he had the sign that he asked for. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Notice here, there's something important. Notice here what's changed in here in our text. Let's read it again. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Every time the Lord is mentioned here, it's capitalized. It's not little Lord anymore. He knows it's not a prophet. He knows he saw the angel of the Lord. This was all he needed to be reassured. His offering had been accepted. There was a miracle in that offering that it was accepted. The angel vanished in front of his eyes. He knew that it was God. Gideon knew. Folks, you have that gift of faith too. You know. Sometimes we run from what we know. For whatever reason, sometimes we just want to be like the Israelites and go pursue other things. And we turn our back on God and we walk away for a while. Our circumstances are just too difficult, like Gideon was in that wine press. But now he knew. And folks, we know too. You see, God calls back His children, I believe. When we wander away, we have proof here in the book of Judges. He called them back through the judges. God called them back, the Israelites back through the judges that He gave them. Is He calling you? Maybe you have something in your life you need to get rid of. And I include myself in that too. Sometimes it might be our lack of faith. We have all that we need, folks, because God is with us. The Lord said to him, verse 23, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Gideon thought he was going to die after seeing this. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Folks, I want to just make a few couple comments. And I'm going to have to stop, I guess, about mid-course in this part of our message. The Lord went to Gideon. The Lord goes to you too. He called Gideon. He calls us. We read earlier that the Lord, that Jesus Himself said that all that the Father has given me will come to me. You see, He draws us. You have faith. He has drawn you to Himself. He accepted Gideon's sacrifice, just like we are accepted through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord accepts us because of Him. He told him not to be afraid. 365 times in the Bible we find, "Do not be afraid," one for each day. We have no reason to be afraid in our lives. You see, Gideon, you might say, found his faith. You have that gift of faith. I believe that the Lord gives all of us tasks in our lives that we need to be doing. It can be a task to help a neighbor. It can be a task to share your gospel. And I think right now, this afternoon, there's going to be a big memorial for Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk accomplished a lot of amazing things in his life. A very short life. He was only 31 when he was assassinated 10 days ago. But what can he say? What is the most the grandest accomplishment he had? He is a father and a husband. He has two children. But his greatest thing he has done in his life, he unafraidedly, if I'm going to coin a new word here, unafraidedly shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of opposition who did not believe it. And folks, that's what we are called to do too. We are to share our faith, even when a world doesn't want to hear it. You see, the judges in the day of the book of Judges, when that was written, the Israelites didn't want to hear it either. But they were told to go turn my people back to me for worship, away from the false gods. You were created to do good works. We all have a purpose. And folks, when we share our testimony, you never know what effect it may have. You see, that's beyond you. That's what's in the Lord's hands. We just have to have faith that whatever work the Lord has intended, that He will accomplish it. We have to have faith. And we're going to read one more verse, and then we're going to close for the day. I thought I could get further, but we can't. You see, Gideon's faith was about to be tested too. He had it, he asked for a sign, and it had been given. Now, what was he about to be required? Let's read verse 25. Now it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. What a task that the Lord is now assigning to Gideon. You know, we talked about Gideon despairing. I'm just going to throw out to you some possibilities. Gideon was downcast. He was having a very hard task trying to thresh wheat in the wine press. But you know, I think there was some shame and guilt that he was carrying too. This text has said that there was an Ashtoreth pole and there was an image erected to the false god Baal in his father's own house, meaning in the land that they had. It was on his own property. I would be shamed too. I don't know if Gideon ever participated in those false worships or not. But all the Israelites did, and even his own father's house had. His father had condoned it. I think there was some shame. Judges chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. That's what Israel did. Folks, you see it all around us today. And I'm going to close with this. You say, I don't know what my purpose is. You say, what work am I supposed to be doing? You believe in God. You believe in the word that He gave us. Every day of your life, you face a choice. And we need to be courageous with our choice. And we need to be vocal with our choice that we make about sharing our faith. The Israelites faced that too. You know, there's this old saying that there's nothing new under the sun. The temptations the Israelites faced are all around us today too. But what were they told? Joshua, who led them into the promised land a couple hundred years before this happened, he made this statement, and it applies to you and I. Joshua chapter 24. Again, every day you have a choice. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray for every one of us that are here. Regardless of your circumstances, keep your faith. Regardless of your circumstances, make a choice. Serve God, even when you don't understand what might be occurring in your life. Regardless of your circumstances, share your faith with God. Because, folks, it's not always about you. Sometimes it's that other person that needs to hear and be uplifted because they can look at you and see that maybe you're in good circumstances or bad, regardless, that you had faith. And that person, that you might just rekindle the faith in that person too, and they need to hear it from somebody, and you might be that one who shares your faith, who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with another person, and they need to hear it. Make that choice every single day. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. Brother Mark.